Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, Mystical Empress Life Coaching with your host, Brenda Renee.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new show. I will be by myself today. I didn't bring any guest on because I had a lot on my mind and a lot to talk to you guys about. And today we're really going to focus on healing and the energy behind disease and imbalance in the body, imbalance in the mind. And it was kind of complicated for me to figure out a title for the show because I've got so much ground to cover with you guys. So I put it all under shamanism and theta healing because that seems like a really nice container. But we're going to travel in many different directions. And I took some notes before the show, just a few little key points that I wanted to keep myself on track and remember. But I have no plans of having this completely structured, as you've probably noticed in the last 7 episodes. We just kind of flow with the energy as it drives us. So just hang with me, relax into this, and take in what you can, and then you can come back and listen to the recording to take in more, because it's probably going to be a multi-level experience where you don't get it all the first time you hear it. With that said, I want to set the foundation. Even though we've talked about this many times in the past, I want to set it today. The foundation that we're going to be working from is energy. The universe is based on energy. I mean, it's just simple, basic, and everything in it. Diseases, people, plants, planets, doesn't matter what we're talking about, it all revolves around energy. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is because energy isn't fixed, it's moldable. So you get that diagnosis that you didn't want to hear. The first thing you do is you go into panic mode. And then you feel victimized because you feel like you're completely helpless and out of control of the situation. And when you think in terms of energy, that means things can shift. It doesn't matter what you hear, what you're told, oh, this is dire, oh, you got 6 months to live, you know, oh, this can never be healed, this can never be rejuvenated. If you can, this is such a strong belief system in our society, and if you can pull back from the drama of the situation and let yourself realize, okay, this is energy. Energy is constantly in flux. Energy is constantly moving. That means this situation can change. Now, I know several people who have chronic disease, who have dire diagnosis and the outlook doesn't look that great. And I want to dedicate this show to all of you and all of you around the country, around the world, who may find themselves in that position of, you know, it doesn't have to be life-threatening, but chronic, you know. I'm doing this show today to offer you hope. So let us travel back in time, and we'll get to the beginning of my story about where healing, you know, first came in. I was a very, very fortunate child as far as my physical health went. I wasn't ever sick. I wasn't ever at the doctor's. The most tragic thing that would happen to me is I would get poison ivy all over me and have to go get, you know, a shot for that. But other than that, I haven't ever been a person that's been on medications, that's been in the hospital, or any of that. But my heart goes out to those of you who have. And part of my journey has been to discover what I can about healing and about energy and about the body in hopes of not only, you know, working out little things in myself, but also sharing that wisdom with you guys. So when I was a child, I was forever attracting sick animals. Wild, sick animals always crossed my path. And somewhere deep inside of me, I knew there was a way to heal them, and I couldn't figure out how. And that bothered me for so long. And I'm someone who's ever educating themselves, mostly self-educating myself. I'm constantly studying, I'm constantly learning, constantly trying to gather more information. And I'm always looking for the bottom line. Well, as I moved through time, I finally stopped attracting these animals and I went on about my life. However, I discovered Abraham Hicks. Well, first, let me back up. First, I discovered Seth through Jane Roberts. And when I was going through my Saturn return, you guys didn't know what that is. It's an astrological cycle that happens between the ages of about 27 and a half to about 30 and a half. It's a 2-year window. It gives us a nice perimeter for it anyway. Well, when I went through that, my body suddenly seemed to be breaking down. I couldn't stay out of the doctor's office. And I was weak, my immune system was shot, and I honest to God thought I had AIDS. I went and got tested, I didn't. But no one could, you know, really explain to me why I was getting sick, just sick, sinus infection, bladder infection, constant, just weakened state. And as I already said, that, you know, this was unfamiliar territory for me. And so I started going to all these doctors and they were giving me all these antibiotics, and all it did was weaken me more. And at that time, I started reading Jane Roberts' Seth Speaks. And then I found the book, The Way Towards Health, by Jane Roberts. It was also a Seth book. And at that time, I was going to a allergy specialist in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I read this book, and it filled me with so much hope and so much promise. Seth talked about our belief systems and how they generate diseases that we encounter. Now, you may be saying, what's a belief system? Well, beliefs are thoughts that you think over and over and over, and sometimes you're not even aware that you think them. And if they are negative train of thought, they become a hindering, blocking belief. Now, not all beliefs are bad. We have a lot of good beliefs, too. But when it comes to disease and imbalance in the body, those negative beliefs can set up some sticky situations. So about that time, I also found Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. I recommend that to everybody, really, because if you're in a human body, you're eventually going to come up against some kind of body imbalance. Well, Louise connected the belief systems with specific diseases and what those beliefs that were the core, the foundation of the disease, what they meant and how it set up the problem in the body. So as I was reading Seth and he was talking about, you know, no disease is incurable. You can do anything. And this was long before stem cell, you know, research and creations and all that happened. And he was talking about things that I thought were impossible to turn around. He said, you have the ability. If you had your arm amputated, you have the ability to grow back a new arm or a new tooth. But your belief system tells you you can't do it, and so you don't. Well, this intrigued me. He also talked about diabetes, which was something I was forever worried about growing up. I don't know why, but that was just a big, big disease in my mind to fear. And it felt like something, well, partly because I had a cousin who died from it when she was 35. And I watched her struggle with that disease, and I was terrified of it. And I thought, okay, you get diabetes, you can't get rid of that. You get herpes, you can't get rid of that. You get AIDS, you can't get, you know, it was all these things that were just insurmountable obstacles. And, you know, Seth was talking about it in one of those books. He said, if you get diabetes, that's totally curable. And I've gone on and heard people in Abraham workshops say that they cured their diabetes. But anyway, let me say here at the outset, I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. I am not a pharmacist. I'm not licensed in the healing modalities. Okay. What I am is I am a licensed spiritual minister talking to you about spiritual healing. I do not recommend anybody, you know, listen to this show and then go run home and throw all their medicines out and never go to a doctor again, because you have to work within the belief systems you have. If you're intrigued about the information you hear today, explore it and then blend it into whatever you already do. And that way you're in the safe zone. My neighbor, I did not know this lady. She was a recluse, but she died recently. She had colon cancer. And the story that went around the neighborhood was she never went to the doctor. Now, you know, if her belief was doctors and medicines are the only way to heal, and then she disregarded that belief, you know, it stands to logical reason that it would eventually overcome her. So I'm not recommending you guys dump whatever you're currently doing. I'm merely giving you insight that I've picked up on my travels and what I've done with them. So getting back to the belief system. So oftentimes we go through life and we think a certain thing. And for you that are listening that aren't really concerned with the healing aspect of this, you can apply this to any area of your life, money, love, whatever. It's all following the same principles. So if you go and go and go and go with this belief system that you never investigate or question, and it's a negative one, it eventually sets up a situation. It materializes in the physical form, okay? Because that's what energy does. It starts out in the ethers, and then it eventually gets enough density to it that it creates a physical manifestation, okay? Well, so I was reading this book, The Way Towards Health, and I said, you know what? It wasn't that I was just completely brainwashed. It was striking a chord of truth that I had known since I was a little girl. But the problem was, Seth didn't get really deep into the theories he was throwing out. It was almost like a teaser to get you to go explore more. I sat down, I wrote to my doctor, and he was apparently a really cool dude. I wrote him and I told him about my discoveries, the spiritual and the quantum physics of this. And I said, you know what? I'm done taking all this stuff. I'm going to work this out in myself. And that man wrote me a letter back and cheered me on. And after that, I put down antibiotics. I put down all of that and started shifting beliefs and working really hard on myself to get to the bottom of my core value systems and beliefs that I had taken for granted my whole life. And it turned it around. And then along the way, I would meet people who had Crohn's disease or breast cancer or diabetes, you name it, people crossed my path. And I would spend a lot of time thinking about their situation and trying to find solutions for them. So a few years later, still listening to Abraham Hicks, going to the workshops and things, I heard on a cassette, at that time I had a wholesale plant nursery, and me and the plants would listen to the Abraham cassettes 8 to 10 hours a day as I was working in the greenhouses. And I heard Jerry Hicks, Esther's late husband, talking about a bird crashing into their window and Esther taking that bird in her hands. It was sure to die, but she brought it back into the wellness of its beingness and it flew away. And I thought to myself, you know what? If Esther can do this, so can I. Well, the universe heard that. I walked in my house one day and my cat, Sir Gawain, had the pleasure of finding one of those green annual lizards. And by the time I found this poor lizard, it was black, it had holes all in its body, and it was on its way out. It was a breath from death. I said, okay. I grabbed the lizard, went back outside, and I sat down, and I thought of Jesus, and I thought of how Jesus healed people. Jesus didn't worry about diseases. He didn't care what you brought to him. Blindness, leprosy, it didn't matter what you had. But he would take his absolute knowing of well-being, of love, of God, and he would heal the person. So I sat there with this lizard dangling for its life in my hands, and I covered him with both hands so I couldn't see him because I knew a major variable in this equation was to not acknowledge or see the brokenness, the disease, the imbalance. And as I sat there, I closed my eyes and I prayed that if it was this animal's will to live, which that's not any of my business, if he was ready to go, it was his time. That was not my place to interject. But I sat there and I said, if this animal has a will to live, please send your healing, love, and energy through my hands to help this creature. And I sat there, and it was no longer than 5 minutes. I felt this kind of struggle in my hand. I opened my hands up. This lizard jumped off my hand. He was green as a blade of grass, no longer black, no longer dangling. He was back. And he jumped off onto the grass and he looked back at me and then he took off. And I wasn't surprised. I wasn't shocked. I knew that the creator of all that is can send this healing down to any one of us. 2 weeks later, I was out in a shop that I had behind my house. I was out there with my lifting weights. It was dusk. And the door, the roll-up door was open. Suddenly this thing comes flying at me. And it crashed, just fell out. Looked at it, it was a hummingbird. I said, okay, here we go again. I picked up the hummingbird, and he was scared. He made a little chirping sound, but he was in no position to really battle me or fight me, try to get away. He was very, very weak. I didn't know what had happened to it. I did the same exact thing again. I sat with my hands cupped over the bird and I called on God's healing energy. And within a few moments, I felt the bird moving around in my hands. I opened it up. He flew up to this banister, iron banister I had on my porch. And I thought, okay, well, he might be hungry. So I got a hummingbird feeder and I put it by him and he flew to my face and he was just hovering there. So I put my finger up and he landed on my finger and ate out of the feeder and he flew away. About a month after that, I was fortunate enough to be called to speak to Abraham at a workshop and I conveyed that story to them. Because at the time, I wasn't really clear why this had happened, what it all meant, the lifetime of the animals, all of that. I didn't know what was going on. And Abraham said to me, you're a teacher. You're a healer. So the words are interchangeable here. And I said, people of all kinds are going to come to you seeking what you have to offer. But your job is never to force it down their throats. You open your hand, like you did with the hummingbird, and those who are ready for what you have to offer will be there. And those who are not, they'll go on about their way and find another path. And at the time, I still had my nursery. I was an actress. I was acting in movies and commercials and things. And in the backdrop, I was studying metaphysics. I was getting my master's in metaphysics. I was learning about feng shui, and I was honing my skills in astrology and psychic readings and all that stuff. But I didn't have a plan at that time that I was going to, like, go out in the world and use those tools for people. All I thought was, this is a passion of mine. It's helping me get answers, and I've got to dig. And find out all I can about these subjects. Let me stop here. Since I'm not the questioner today, I might need to make a note of where I stopped at because we've got a caller. I would like to let you ask your question. Hello, caller?
Hello, caller?
Yes.
Hello. Yes, what is your name?
Yes.
Hello. Hey, Brenda, it's Luann.
Hello, sweetie.
How are you?
Very, very good.
Good. I've been listening to your show. It's really great.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Did you want to ask anything or give me some input or insight? I'd love to hear.
Yeah. For me, the show came kind of at an interesting timing. Because yesterday, well, it's a long story, but I'll just tell you briefly that I had these two teeth that I went to get worked on back in like 2009, and they were broken, but the dentist said they were fine. All they had to do was just, you know, file them down and put a crowns on them. So I went to get them done, and the procedure went really well. And at the very end, he says, oh, you know, I think they're going to need a root canal after all. And so he said, I want to clean them up a little bit better. So he gave me a second shot of the anesthetic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently it went, the second shot, it must have hit a vein, and the epinephrine in the anesthetic went to my heart.
I thought
I was a goner, because, I mean, it was a very violent reaction. I couldn't breathe, and I was shaking, like, uncontrollably. It was really bad. The worst part of it was that the dentist ran out of the room. He got scared and ran out of the room and left me there.
What?
Yeah. I know. And so, you know, to say the least, it was, you know, one of the most traumatic things that ever happened to me. And then he didn't even come back and finish the work he was doing, so the fillings were, like, all high, the temporary fillings, and when the Novocaine wore off when I went home, I couldn't even bite down. And it was like Thanksgiving weekend or something, so I was totally, you know, out of commission for several days. But it left me with, like, this great fear of the dentist. And so I never got the teeth fixed. I just left them that way because every time I tried to go to the dentist, they couldn't even work on me because my heart would start racing and my blood pressure would shoot up. So the tooth haven't bothered me until Monday, and suddenly I just got this horrific toothache, you know. So yesterday I went to a dentist and I did some hypnosis. I found some videos online, you know, for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some hypnosis. I went to a dentist and he told me that he doesn't think that the teeth are, in his opinion, the teeth don't seem like they'd be worth doing, like root canals and all and crowns. He said there wasn't much structure there to work with. So
mm-hmm.
he was suggesting that I have them pulled, you know, and put a partial in, which, you know, I'm not thrilled about wearing something like that in my mouth, you know. But
mm-hmm.
so I'm kind of on a quest now to figure out, you know, some kind of other option or something, you know, something else I could do. You know, I know that the root canals are not good anyway. They have a lot of information that's come out in recent years that they're not the healthiest thing you can do. But it doesn't sound like that's going to even be an option for me. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you've given me a lot of material here, and I'm going to weave it in to what I'm talking about because that's some really good stuff that you just gave
uh-huh.
me. And it certainly applies to where I'm going with this. So please continue listening because I think you're going to get some answers.
Okay.
And let me say this too. You being a Leo, I'm going to throw this in here and hopefully it won't get me completely off track because my mind, boy, when the information starts coming in, it's coming in from all different directions. But anyway, with you being a Leo, your heart is a very sensitive organ in your body. And when trouble happens, there are specific organs that are sensitive in each of us. You can find that out by getting your astrology chart done. But the simplest one to look at is the part of the body that your sun sign rules. And with you being a Leo, your heart is, you know, it's going to take the brunt of what life has to offer. And for that to go right to your heart, that's, you know, that makes total sense to me. And while I'm here, let me say this too. Might seem a little off subject, but I think it's good for everybody to know. Hippocrates, father of medicine, many, 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 many centuries ago, said that when we go in to have a procedure done. Well, he didn't use all those words, but I'm making it simple for this day and age. He said never to touch with a knife the part of the body the moon is transiting. And if you've ever seen a farmer's almanac, you know what sign the moon's in every day. They print it on a lot of calendars. So what this boils down to, and people call me when they're about to have surgeries or whatever, and they say, okay, is this a good date? Let's say the moon was in Leo on that day you went in. So your heart, you know, we already know it's a sensitive spot. And then it got picked up in this seemingly completely disconnected way through your teeth. So there's a lot going on here that people aren't aware of. And it's not that the planets are dictating your life, but when you're born, you have a very specific moment in time that you enter this dense plane of reality. And that creates a vibrational field around you where certain things can trigger. Okay? But anyway, let me keep going because I think I've got two other callers since I've been on the phone. But let me keep going because I want to get all of this that you've brought to my attention into this discussion. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you for calling me and listening.
You're welcome, Brenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Hello. Hello. Hello, caller. Hello. Hello. Okay. All right, so let's keep going because Miss Luann, our indie country singer, just gave me some goodies to weave into this conversation. All right, now it's interesting that Luann talked about teeth to begin with. Teeth have to do with our belief systems. And now think about this. He was told at first you need a root canal. We were dealing with crowns and root canals, serious stuff. If you're getting a procedure done that takes the root out of your tooth, we're dealing with root core beliefs, big stuff, okay? And I don't know the name of it, but there are specific healing modalities that are just like reflexology where your every part of your foot connects to a part of your body. It's the same way with your teeth. So, Luann, if you're still listening, I would suggest that you try to find a diagram of the teeth and what correlation they have in the body. It would be very fascinating if that particular tooth resonated with the heart area. Okay. Let me get back into this, and we'll continue. We're going to bring up some more on Luann's question as we move forward. Okay, so we had this experience where I had this energy flow through my hands, healed these creatures, and so I moved on. Then I started learning about, I watched the film, What the Bleep, and it was an indie documentary that had a storyline but overlaid with quantum physicists and theologians and channeled entities, all these different things, people putting in their input. And I was totally fascinated by that movie. I went on and got the extended version, What the Bleep Down the Rabbit Hole. What the Bleep Do We Know Down the Rabbit Hole? And this one really got in there for me. Joe Dispenza was on there, and he was a chiropractor talking about the brain chemistry and how it's wired. Candace Perth, I think, was a pharmacologist. She was talking. All these different people, an anesthetist, I can't say that word, but you know what I'm talking about. He was on there. There was all these experts in different fields talking about energy, talking about how it manifests in this plane, talking about the quantum physics principles behind it. And the part on the brain, the wiring of the brain, is called the neural net programming. Now, inside the brain, we've got all these little highway systems. The best way to give you a visual is like a spider web. And all the different strands connect each other. And belief systems in particular are in these neural nets, and specific triggers will trigger the neural net. And when it's triggered, your body automatically gets an injection of hormones. And these hormones can be adrenaline, it can be dopamine. You know, let's say you're somebody that thrives in drama, or you may not think you thrive in drama, but you notice drama is always around you. Your neural net in your brain may be one revolving around a drama, and your body craves the drama because it gives you that adrenaline rush. So it's like being addicted to the hormones and you're not even aware of it. Now, the tricky part is those belief systems will literally cause you to get yourself in situations and cause you to perceive situations a certain way, all ensuring that the trigger happens so that you get the injection, you get the fix, okay? So this is a hard thing, because when you've got that system set up, it's hard to change it without being very conscious of it and very on top of it, because those triggers can happen and you just slide right into them and you're not even aware of it till the whole darn thing's passed. Okay? Now, where does this shamanism come into all of this? Well, before I go there, let me say one more thing about the neural nets. We have these neural nets, they get triggered, they keep being strengthened and reinforced each time we have the event, or somebody saying something to us, or some kind of activity, or a memory, or whatever, keeps reenacting, reinforcing the neural net. Well, eventually, that situation becomes materialized in the body, as we said earlier on. We face some kind of imbalance or disease or, you know, something going on in the... All right, now the shamanism. The shaman is someone who knows how to work with the spirit world, with animals, with plants, with nature. And you say, okay, well, what is the spiritual world? Remember when I told you this whole universe, galaxy is energy? Well, on the earth plane, we see energy as physical things. Energy manifests as something you can touch, see, hear, smell, or taste. Excuse me, that's what we're governed by. But we've been hypnotized into thinking is all there is, when in fact, there's a lot more to the story. There are many levels of existence that can't necessarily be seen or heard or felt. So that's where the psychic senses come in. We were all born with these gifts. That was a natural part of being born. But between religion, society, and the denseness of this plane, we forgot those gifts. Or we pushed them down because we were told they were sinful. And so we're only operating on a very small percentage of what's really going on around us. Well, the shaman knows how to move in and out of the physical as well as the spiritual realm. They know how to work with spiritual teachers, with animal totems, power animals. guides, their angels, all of these things are there for use. Now, not only does the shaman work with them, but anyone that's conscious enough to understand the difference in the laws of the planes can pick up this information. You don't just have to go to somebody that's a shaman, a healer, whatever, to get the information. You can learn how to receive it yourself. That's your God-given right. So there are seven planes or seven levels of existence, and I'm not talking about dimensions here. I'm talking about different planes of experience, and we have seven. The shaman can travel through these, the healer can travel through these, but the thing that caught me on this was through my shamanic work, I'm only working with one level. I'm not accessing all there is. And my toolbox has been filled with many different modalities and systems of working. So I don't like to just limit myself by just shaman, because there's so much more to the shifting of energy. The astrology, the Akashic records, the sacred geometry, crystals and gemstones, all of these guys are on different planes. And so if you're only working with crystals, or if you're only doing the shamanic work, or if you're only working with sacred geometry, you still only have a piece of the puzzle. And this was what I discovered, and I said, okay, there's got to be a way to tie all of this together, because I don't want a piece of the pie, I want the whole pie. And that's when I started studying theta healing. This theta healing goes beyond the lower levels, 1 through 6. It works, it takes you directly to the creator of all that is. Doesn't mean you have to give up all your other little tools. It just means you're now filtering them through God's energy and not lower level entities' energy. A lot of times we think angels are, you know, right up there sitting beside God. But angels aren't even at that highest plane. Only God is at that highest plane. And personally, if I'm going to do the work, I want to be working with the top guy. You know, I don't want to be getting piece of it. I want to get the whole enchilada. So this was how I approach bringing this healing in. And this is how I worked with those animals that day so long ago. And this is something that you can do too. You can do it, you can learn to do it on your own, or you can hire somebody to do it for you. Either way, it's there and it's available for you. So with that said, I want to get into some of the other energies that are out there that so many people don't concern themselves with. Most people live in this world, again, going by what their five senses show them. However, there are many different entities in this galaxy, this universe. There's people, there's animals, there's plants, there's trees, but there's also fairies. There's also gnomes, there's wood nymphs, there's ghosts, there's negative entities like demons and dark wayward spirits. All of these things exist, acknowledge them or not. Now, I get clients calling me every week that know nothing about. I had a girl call yesterday. You know, we moved in this house, and I've noticed since I've been here, I get these visions, and I feel like somebody's rushing me down the stairs. This girl is sensitive to these other realms and these other beings. We know, most of us know, we need to bathe our bodies, brush our teeth, and go about life. But so many of us don't realize that we need to be also cleansing our spiritual nature, our auras. because you pick up all kinds of psychic debris as well as psychic parasites known as entities. Now, people say, oh, that's crazy. I don't know if I believe that. I was talking to a lady the other day that was a healer. And she said, well, my daughter keeps telling me she's got monsters in her room. And she kind of did her fingers up like quotes. And then she said, you know, every night she wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, I was immediately concerned. The mother, you know, didn't realize the significance of that because she hasn't studied it. But these entities look for a host, just like a tick would look for a host or a cowbird would look for a cow host. They're looking, they're scanning the environment, looking for a place to nestle into. And these entities can be attached to furniture. They can be attached to an environment. They can be attached to people or pets or, you know, jewelry. It doesn't really matter, but they're looking for something they can attach to. And generally, the only way you're going to get attachments, I mean, we all have them throughout our lives, just like, you know, you get mosquitoes on you. It's a natural part of existence. It doesn't mean you're possessed necessarily. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that you've picked up some junk that doesn't belong to you. And these attachments, in particular, they like people who are in a weakened state. Someone who's been through a trauma. Someone who's chronically depressed. Someone who's going through significant illness. Someone who's on drugs or alcohol. All of these things are places that these entities like to attach because your aura is weakened and your aura is the energetic shield around your body. Some people see them, but most people do not. Now, I want to talk a few seconds about addiction. Throughout my life, I've been faced with addicts of one form or another because it runs in my family. And when you come from that background, you're either an addict yourself or you tend to connect with other addicts. So I've been around it all of my life. And there was always something about it energetically that really, really made the hair on the back of my neck just rise up. And I finally found out that entities, every drug, every alcohol, have you ever noticed they call alcohol spirits? All of these have specific entities attached to them. So let's say including plant-based, like marijuana, all these different things have entities. And when you are consistently using them, these entities attach to you. So then you get in addiction and you want out, you want out, you want to stop. And something keeps pulling you back in. These entities fight to keep the addiction alive. And so it's important to be cleared. You know, when I first moved to Colorado, every single week I was getting people coming to me, please clear me. I've got this on me. I've got an entity. I've got a curse. I've got this. And I was like, what is this all about? I didn't want to deal with this. I certainly didn't want to, you know, get in an entity's playpen and have to, you know, fight it out. But it became so consistent that I had to study it and I had to explore it and figure out what was going on. Well, the entities, as I said, where they come from, but we also have psychic attacks, and you know, these things sound so otherworldly, but then once you understand what they are, it makes perfect sense. I had a person this week that was mad at me because I wouldn't hire her into my company. And, you know, I trust my guidance when I'm dealing with people. And if it feels off, I don't proceed. Well, anyway, this girl got very mad because I said no. And she went on an attack spree on the internet against me. Now, that is a vengeful, vindictive activity that acts as a psychic attack. And that sends negative energy in your direction. And how many times have you had somebody jealous of you? They just were so jealous of you they couldn't even see straight. That's a psychic attack. It can also be called a curse. There are cultures that they talk about the evil eye. I know you've heard that. The evil eye and curses and all of these things. And under the title, you're like, come on now, how many curses can cast out in this world? Seriously, not everybody's working with black magic. Only a few are, you know, it doesn't make sense. But when you realize that's just a label for negative energy sent in your direction, you understand. And every single one of us have had these psychic attacks. And I would be willing to bet that every single one of us have had some kind of entity attachment in some form or another throughout our lives. So for me, I personally believe that everyone should have a clearing at least once in your lifetime by a professional. And then after that, learn how to do it yourself. Because we travel through many different things and we pick up things. I once stayed at I rented a room. I was in California and I wanted to rent a room to stay out there for about a month. And when I walked into the apartment, I felt all this heavy, dark energy. Well, come to find out, the girl had been playing with voodoo and conjuring up things from the cemetery. So I had to clean all that up so I could stay in my well-being. Now, if you don't believe all this, that's fine with me. But just because you don't believe it doesn't mean that it. I was a skeptic for a long time because I felt like a lot of it was just hoaxes to get people to spend more money. And I do think that is happening a lot of times because I get clients that come to me and say, yeah, I just spent all this money to get this curse off of me. And usually the money is astronomically crazy amount. So you have to use your best guidance, your best intuition. But anyway, you get this stuff cleaned off of you. Sometimes this stuff even is affecting you when you have these chronic diseases. Because look at it, a parasite drains you of your energy. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of parasite it is. It could be a tapeworm. It's draining you of vital essence. And anytime you have a drain on your energy system, that's not helpful for the well-being of your body. Okay, this is good coming into what Luann said. Brought up, you know, that was an extremely traumatic episode she had happen at the dentist office. Because whenever you go into a doctor's care, our society has taught us that these are like the ultimate authority figures. And when you go into that care, you hopefully believe that you're going to be taken care of. And when that person runs out of the room in panic and you're sitting there knowing if you're having a heart attack or about to die, that is extremely traumatic. It's interesting, Luann, if you're still out there listening, that last night as I was doing some studying and reading, the lady was talking about her experiences with the medical field and how when she was moving beyond replacing her own guidance with that of a doctor's, she had challenges come up, and it was to help her move back into her power. So I would imagine some of that was involved in this situation. It broke this, as bad as it was, it broke the spell of the doctors know all. The doctors are all healing, all knowing. You know, it's, I'm not saying you necessarily have that belief, but a lot of us do in this society. So when we have, and Luann had said when she was talking that that was, you know, that was a, one of the most terrifying experiences of her life. When we have a situation like that happen, the shaman calls it a soul loss. Fragments of our personality, of our soul collection splinters off at that location, that event. It's easier for me to say your body goes into shock and it sheds pieces of itself to be able to survive, to carry forward. So when this happens, the shaman calls this a soul loss, and we do soul retrievals. What does that mean? It means the shaman goes through the journey, which is basically a hypnotic trance. Some shamans use the aid of psychedelics and plants and things like that. I didn't train with that system because of my family's background with addiction. I've always steered clear of stuff that, you know, I've tried to always stay clear of stuff that alters me conscious-wise. If I'm going to alter myself, I do it with my own mind, not with a substance. But anyway, there's different shamans use different techniques. But as you go into the journey, the shaman goes into the journey, the shaman looks for the pieces that have been lost and then ultimately brings them back to the person, to their soul. And how that plays out is it reinvigorates the person because they're feeling like themselves again, like all of themselves again. So with Luann having that situation, she's probably had some fragmentation around that event, and that keeps the fear locked in place of dentist, and it might have even expanded since then out to doctors and, you know, any kind of medical procedure, just the sheer panic of it. So that reveals there was a fragment, there was a loss there, and it can be regained. That's not a problem. You can regain it. But most people don't know to do that or how to do that or where to go to do that. I had a very dear friend who, young girl, she's about, I don't know, I would say at the time she was about 20, 21, and she was in Brazil or I think it was South America, and she and her boyfriend had rented like a moped and they wrecked. And she slid under a truck. I think the truck actually rolled over her. And she survived. But it was such a traumatic event, you know, and I knew that there was soul loss, soul fragmenting in that situation. And it doesn't have to be something, you know, dramatic like that. It can be something like, spending a lot of time in a hospital. It can be someone wounding you verbally. There's many ways that can happen. And so what happens after you have this fragment loss or when you have entity attachments or whatever, these things weaken your fullness of who you were pre-birth. It weakens your ability to naturally heal because you're not operating on a full deck of cards. You've only got parts of them. So these are spiritual things that can happen that interfere in the healing process of your body. Another thing I want to talk about is the beliefs around healing. Now, this is going to sound really strange to you. We have diseases and illnesses. We already know, we've already discussed that a lot of them come from belief systems originally. But did you know that a lot of people are served very well by their disease? And because the disease serves them, they may be unconsciously resistant to healing it. I will give you some examples. If you have been a person that has felt very downtrodden in their luck, very victimized in their life, even ignored or abandoned, and you suddenly find yourself with this life-threatening disease, one of the manifestations of that is your family circles around. They gather around you in love, in support. And you've never had this before. And now all of a sudden you've got it because you've got this disease. This could be an anchor that could keep you from fully healing it. Does that mean we can't work around that? No, it does not. The belief would need to be discovered. You could be taking all kinds of treatment to heal. Nothing works. Nothing works. I know you've seen people that have gotten rid of one thing, one life-threatening disease, only to get another one and another one. And it's like it never ends. That's because the core underneath it has not been discovered. Another thing I see happen a lot, and I warn clients about this, is people will get themselves in a situation, usually around work. They're in this, they've created this scenario where they are overwhelmed, they're miserable, they hate their jobs, they're working too hard, too fast, too much, stress, stress, stress. And then suddenly they get knocked on their butt with some horrible illness or disease, and they have absolutely no choice but to sit down and be still or lay down and rest. So when I'm talking to clients, especially in life coaching and in readings, and I know that the pressure cooker is building, I advise them to do something to release some of that, because your body can only take so much before the lid blows off. And if that change means leave this situation, then that's what you have to choose to do. And most people don't choose to do that. They wait for the bottom to fall out before they make a change. So all along the path, you are guided. You get red flags. I had a woman call that told me she was in this job, and she said, every time I go to work, my stomach is sick. She said, I'm just sick, nauseous. And I told her, I said, you need to get out, because if that situation is causing that in your body, it's going to get worse. This is your warning flag. Well, she didn't listen to me, but fortunately the universe was listening to her, because it was only 4 weeks later she got fired. And instead of rejoicing, she went into a downward spiral and just panicked. And so if we would just listen and pay attention to the clues around us, we could circumnavigate a lot of these experiences. Hello, do we have a caller? You have a question?
Yeah, hi. I just called
into
the show, and I don't believe in coincidences, and it's kind of ironic that what you were just saying when I picked up to listen about this woman that felt basically unhappy and physically ill, feelings are manifesting for her when she walked into her job, and I'm not to that degree with my job, but I'm feeling intuitively that it's not really where I should be right now. And yet, even though it's a corporate franchise, I'm kind of afraid, like most people, to make any moves unless you force. I'm sorry?
Yes. That's understandable.
You know, because I know that there's a paycheck coming in, and yet I don't know, like, if I say, okay, I quit, then I have nothing. You know, and apparently there's a conflict of interest making a lateral move in my company. So I'm kind of like, what do I do? You know, what do I do?
Okay.
Do I just sit and deal with it until the bottom falls out if it does?
Let me offer you this and anyone else who's in a similar situation, because money and work is something that can become a prison, because it keeps us tied to things that are toxic for us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't ever tell a client, oh, just go quit and go do your own thing. This lady that I was talking about had a lot of talents and gifts that she wasn't aware of and that was pretty much being beat out of her in the situation she was in. And I knew that she was able to move on to something in her greater good. But I will tell you, as I told her, when we made the decision and we make it from a scary place, and obviously you calling in today saying I'm never coming back would be a very scary place. The best thing you can do is detach mentally. You know, you go to work every day, you do your thing, you do whatever is called on you to do, but mentally carve out a place in your mind that you can go to that feels really, really good. The reason I'm saying that is because in this energy-based universe, when you make a decision based on fear, it's always the wrong decision. And the reason it's wrong is because it'll draw more fearful things to you. But when you can make a decision from a place of peace and happiness and calm, you draw more of that to you. So right now, for you and that lady at the time I talked to her, you're finding a way to collect positive energy even though it's not in this environment. Okay? So I'll give you some ideas of how you could do that. Simple things. You might start by the environment, your immediate workspace, bringing feng shui into this healing here.
I already did. I'm an esthetician, so I don't want to cut you off, but I do that. So my workroom, I clear the energy before I go in. I have a nice diffuser going with different lights changing on it, very soft, soothing.
Good, very good.
I'm fortunate that I don't have to work out in an office setting where there's many people with energy diffusing, all different craziness. But the thing is that I'm twice the age of most of my coworkers who have been there much longer than me. But my boss said to me today over the phone when I asked him, you know, is there a conflict of interest picking up a few hours at a different location? He was kind of like, well, you're not an earner. You know, your numbers are really low here. And I said, well, probably because I'm not getting the work. I'm not being scheduled. And when I am on the clock, my hours are not being filled. So how could I possibly be an earner other than keep trying and do the best that I can do? When I'm in my therapy room, I love it. And once I leave, I'm great. I'm light. It's when I come home and then I realize all of the trauma that actually is going on in there behind my back, if you will, it makes me very uncomfortable. And I feel like I'm highly intuitive, and I know when that voice speaks and says, it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm,
but yet
mm-hmm.
I'm second-guessing myself by the same token, because I know that I can mentally prepare myself to get up and go and be there and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that fine line of indifference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
words that you offered, there is a belief in there. You've got some beliefs around the situation that are adding to the paralyzation of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this. I would do, if it were me, by myself, without anybody else's outside help, I would do some journaling to see what these beliefs could be. You know, you can start right on the top of the surface and dig down. The top of the surface is you've got all this stuff going on behind your back. And how does that make you feel? Where does that take you in your mind? Have you had similar circumstances like that before? You go back as far in time as you can go. It may be when I was 7 years old in first grade, this group of girls were talking about me. You know, it could be anything. But these
mm-hmm.
beliefs keep you, they keep you bound to a situation, a relationship, a person, a work space, because there's something there for you to get, to resolve, and to release. It's always a bigger situation than just the details of the story.
Of course, of course. And I know maybe it's me. Maybe it's the energy I throw off. I'm highly empathic. You know, I like to think that I'm a lighthearted person, a caring, loving, giving person of myself in many ways, like healer. But by the same token, it's a little bit taxing to work in any kind of dissension when you feel that there's phoniness around you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much of a nice place that you may want to build in your mind to make yourself available to do your best work, when the energy is off, it's off. And
mm-hmm.
you can't change
mm-hmm.
others. You can just make your own circumstances that much more tolerable, pleasant, positive, if you will. But how does that, how do I fix the whole realm?
Well,
if I just don't like you, I just don't like you. I've tried, but I just want to get there and do what I got to do. I got to be me, you know? I'm a Sagittarian. I'm very honest.
And I love that about you Sagittarians. You know, you guys don't pull any punches. It is what it
no,
is.
No, we don't.
Nobody has to guess with you guys.
No,
well,
they don't.
I will say this to you. Number one, now listen, you can learn so much about these situations just by listening to someone's words. All right, so you're very intuitive, and you've learned to use that intuition. And you see through things. You see through situations. You see through people. Now, you ask yourself, if you're in a situation where people are hiding what's really going on, what's really being said, who they really are, can you see how you, with your X-ray vision, would be very uncomfortable to those people?
Absolutely, and I've been tolerating it for a very long time, and I've been eating crow, if you will, proverbially. But, you know, I rise above, and I just go in and do what I have to do. But yet, I'm at a point right now where something's really gnawing at me, and it's saying, you know, this is not healthy for you, because now you're bringing it home with you, and I don't
mm-hmm.
want that. I live with animals,
mm-hmm.
and their pureness and joy is that's kind of like my recharge right there. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe it's this full moon, because I'm feeling everything to a 10, you know, so maybe I should just like wait for that to wane out. I don't want to make any hasty moves, but this has been kind of ongoing for a little while, and you know, like you say, when you rise above and I mean, this timing could not be more serendipitous to make this phone call and to hear you, because you're listening. You're truly listening. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I thank my angels for saying, okay, this is what you have to listen to.
Well,
I just don't
I
know
want...
really where to turn at this point, you know, just like keep trying to do my best, increase my sales. Maybe they'll change their attitudes a little bit. They'll lighten up a little bit. I don't know. You seem to really know what you're talking about, though. I like what you say.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Where I would go with you, and this is where it gets tricky, because the minute you say, okay, you create your reality, people automatically say, what am I doing wrong? Why am I a bad person? Why am I creating this? And it's not about that, okay? It's about certain beliefs that you have manifested this version of reality, okay? And I encourage people, even people like that are about to get a divorce. I say, okay, before you leave this situation behind, do some cleanup work. Because if you don't, you carry the same situation, you go find another location to work, and you have the same crap happen all over again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you're wise to not fly the coop yet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be important for you to get to the bottom of what this circumstance is stirring up in you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This lady that I was talking about, as we dug and got to the bottom of it with her, she was trying desperately to win these people's approval. She was so beyond their level as far as skill went and expertise, but the rejection of the staff carried back to an old belief that she had picked up in childhood of always trying to win, trying to win her father's approval.
Yeah.
And so she stayed in that, hoping that one day she would win the approval she so desperately wanted all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always an underlying belief or beliefs that you have to do some digging and some researching, journaling, self-talk to get to the bottom of. But they generally didn't just happen. You didn't pick it up last year. They've come about over a lifetime. And it's been such a habitual pattern that it just seems like this is how life is. And it's not. And what happened with her was she didn't get to work out her belief before she left. So then by being fired, the rejection was even 100 times worse. And so my work with her was, you have to give yourself the approval instead of seeking it outside, because you're not going to find it out there. Do some internal work.
Yeah. Now I got to figure out that course.
there's something big here for you. And once you get it, you'll get it for life, and you can move on into the rainbows.
Wow. I'm 50. I guess there's no time to start in the present, right?
That was something else that I caught when you first started talking. You brought up
the age difference.
I'm twice as old as everybody else. There's a belief right there.
Yeah.
And
I'm a young 50. I mean, I could fly with them, you know, but yet they should fly with me. I'm the ego.
There you go, sister. There you go.
You know, I'm the eagle. They should be looking at my wisdom instead of...
Exactly.
But you know how some women can be so catty, you know? And I don't want dissension. I don't want to have to fight for time slots or, you know... I do this because this is what I do now for a living. I chose this career. It somehow chose me. But it is. It's here and it's now. And I just want to go... make my little bit of money and then come home and just be suffice with that, you know? I'm not trying to make a killing or get my own corporation. But I want to be content, because what I do when I lay hands on people is energy work, basically, no matter how you look on it. You're touching another person. And that's why I've made my treatment room as conducive to peace and comfort for me, so that I can transfer good treatment to somebody else, because they're paying a lot of money, you know. I don't even know where to begin with myself, though, but you're right. I understand, like, this pattern. I hear what you're saying.
Listen to me. I know and I can feel that you're a very gifted person. And all you can control in this situation is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning up whatever baggage this is stirring up. And then fly away if the eagle would.
Yeah.
They may come into alignment once you're in alignment with whatever this issue is inside of yourself, this belief. But don't count on that.
No.
Because we tend to, we're drawn to the environments and to the people that help us grow and learn. And once that lesson is discovered and resolved, a lot of times they have no more purpose in our lives.
Yeah, I know that. Mhm. Yeah.
So trust yourself, because I do.
Yeah. No, I have to trust myself because I'm all I have to work with. You know what I mean?
yeah. As we all do.
There's nobody else to depend on but myself.
Exactly.
Oh, you're so wonderful. I wish I would have found you sooner. I'm going to listen to some of your podcasts if you have them, because
you
have such divine knowledge. It's beautiful.
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for paying attention and listening to your guidance, because there's no coincidence. You landed here for a reason today.
That's what I said, and it's like breathing, the intuition. So you got to breathe, you got to listen to what's going on inside and around. There's no doubt. People don't realize it. It's part of their breathing, you know. It's like,
yeah,
hello, you
yeah.
can overcome so many issues by listening to your intuition. You know, and I say that all the time. And I think I've gotten pretty keen about it, but I got to find these, like you said, these little faults that lie deep within that have manifested a very long, long time ago.
It's just misdirected energy.
Yeah, I'll think about it. I'll have to ponder and sit and really, you said journal.
Journal
it's
it.
Amazing
Get,
what comes out of journaling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then rereading
Indeed.
It a few days, weeks, months later. It's amazing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
God bless you and happy Holy Week.
God bless you too, honey. And I'm going to be sending all the good blessings I can in direction of your work.
Send them to Joanne. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sagittarius Joanne.
Thank you. Have a blessed day. And I'm going to keep listening, so you can mute me, but I want to keep hearing.
Okay. Thank you, honey.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
What a wonderful caller. All right. We don't have much time left, seven minutes. So I'm going to try to get the last little bit I want to talk about in here. The DNA. Something that I heard on that What the Bleep Down the Rabbit Hole. One of the ladies speaking was talking about DNA and how we're not using all of the DNA that's available to us. This is a time in this dimension, that there's a lot of accelerated growth, evolvement of consciousness is happening. People are waking up, and DNA, these strands of DNA that we're not using, it's becoming more and more important to activate all of it, because as it's activated, we're able to ascend vibrationally. We've been in a very dense vibration for many centuries, I mean, since the beginning, almost. And as things are speeding up, as they're accelerating, as they're moving into a different level of consciousness, it's necessary for our bodies to undergo the transformation of becoming less dense. Because the density keeps you trapped in the world of duality, which is fear, which is hatred, anger, whatever. And as you start getting less and less dense, those vibrations don't quite work for you You know, you can't live in them. And that's why a lot of people turn to the, they look at their food, because your food offers a vibration to your mix. And people become vegetarians. They drop meat. They drop anything animal produced. They turn towards the magical healing properties of plants and chlorophyll and all these different things. And that helps to lighten the load. But as we're moving through time, having this DNA activated is important, because we need to be operating on all the cylinders we have in order to easily navigate the shifts occurring in this system. Anger and fear are two of the most difficult emotions that human beings go through, and they linger long into the body. You know, as I was telling you, the girl got nasty online about me. I knew immediately that I had to clear myself, and I knew that I had to release any anger or fear around that situation, because I didn't want to carry that into the future with me. All these interactions we have with people, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, they attach specific energy frequencies or psychic cords to us that can go on a lifetime if they're never removed. So I'm winding down now. I'm so excited that we were able to talk about all this today. And I'm really excited and impressed that I was able to kind of keep it in a coherent flow, because I literally didn't have it planned out. I prayed before I started, just please let this reach the people who need to hear it, and please help it be coherent enough for them to understand it. I've really enjoyed you guys. And if you want to learn more about the shamanism, the spiritual, the soul fragment, soul retrievals, entity clearings, belief work, any of this thing, DNA activation, you can come to my website, www.mysticalempress.com, or you can call and we can discuss what you're interested in learning about at 720-965-0062 or 720-900-9727. I would love to hear from some of you guys and give me some insight on some topics and subjects you'd like to hear more about and learn more about, because every week I'm brainstorming and I'm thinking about the best thing that I can present to you to give you knowledge of your own to help you move forward in your own life. So I love getting insights and comments and recommendations, whatever you've got. I'm open to hearing it and seeing how we can together move forward with the show and create the best listening experience that we can provide here. I hope that you found some things today that you can use. And just a funny little thing I want to throw out at the very end of this. I was talking to a girl last night and I was doing her astrology chart, and she said, "Why am I surrounded by all these Scorpios all of a sudden?" She's an Aquarius. And I told her that when a Scorpio comes into your life, you are about to undergo a major transformation. And we Scorpios are awesome guides. We're fearless and we're willing to delve into the abyss to get the information that we need to help you. And I want to send you off on that with many, many blessings to all of you who were listening and those who will be listening in the future. Thank you for joining, and God bless you, and happy Easter as it's coming up. Thank you very much. Do me a favor and expect a miracle this week. It'll happen. Just look around the corner and it'll be there.